It's a whole big problem with the Suda, right? A big machlekes achronim. How are they not in Yerushalayim, you know? They're not in Suda today.
It's a lot of boxes that way.
They said they're passing like the Yishalmi.
Yeah.
Like the Yishalmi. Because a lot of achronim argue. Some of them, they do both days. See, what's the machlekes? I'm not in the Suda now. You're in the Suda, right? But the Yishalmi says an interesting thing. What is Yishalmi? Yishalmi says that you may mishtav a simcha ksiv. Right, lasa sosum yemei mishtav a simcha. So what was Lashon Yishalmi there? Esha.
The
Esha.
Lower
Esha Tvoya b'Shemayim. What does it mean? I mean, on the surface, I think it means like this. The question is, you see, you can't be koveya Shabbos, the Yom HaShabbos, as a Yom Mishtav a simcha. It's not possible. Because it's kavur omer already. But the question is whether you can isolate the shame yom yudalid from the yom hashabbos. You see, there's two phenomena here. One is the yom yudalid, tesvav, right? The chalei shame of the yom tesvav lachodesh. That's what the Yishalmi says. Yishalmi says that you may mishtav simcha could be on the yom hachodesh, could be nitfas, but the yom hashabbos can't be nitfas, and the Yishalmi's argument is you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two, so that's why it can't be. The ones that hold that you can, they hold that the shem yudalid tesvav, you can relate to the shem yom tesvav lachodesh, and not the yom hashabbos. But everybody agrees that you can't be kaveh. It seems to me everybody would agree you can't be kaveh to Yom HaShabbos as Yom Mishnah V'Simcha. Because it's kavoh v'yom v'shesh me'breshis. You can't make it into something else. But the question is, can you relate to the Yom Tesvav on the Yom HaShabbos without relating to the Yom HaShabbos? So Yishalmi says you can't. That's what Yishalmi means. That's what I think. I'm not in the sugya, but on the surface, it's not like it.
Have you had a Shiva brachas or something on Shabbos? How can you have such a thing? You're adding a dimension to a Shabbos.
Because that's a private thing. That's not the. That's right. That's correct. It's not. It's a personal simcha. Personal simcha is different. But to be kaveya, what? A Yom Tov is different because Yom Tov is kavua in the Chodesh itself. So Yom Tov is kavua in the Chodesh itself. But that's different because as soon as the Mekadosh Chodesh, the Yom is Nikfa. So you have two systems running along. That you have two systems Midaraisa. You have dual systems. So they're both one is not involved with the other. But because that's Alach and Kiddush Chodesh. But over here, La Soso Som means it's extraneous. It's an extraneous Asiyah. So the extraneous asiya can only relate to the yom tesvav itself, to the yom tesvav because midrabanan, because midrabanan kaveya. So it's extraneous to the system midaraisa. In the system midaraisa, you have two systems. You have the kriyas yom from the Rish Chodesh. So the two systems running along at the same time. So they coincide. So one system doesn't affect the other. So they're both chal. But over here, it's not two systems midaraisa. It's you're being kaveya a day as a yom simcha. You can't do that to Shabbos. Yom Shabbos is kavod omer. You can't do that. That seems to me the machlokes. Can you isolate the yom tesvav from the yom haShabbos?
I think the Brit Fadal learns a little differently.
Could be. I'm not necessarily.
He learned the problem.
Yeah, really. The pasuk that expresses most the tragedy, a near tragedy. Of Purim, and that is really the last pasuk in Gimel. Haratzim yatzu dechufim b'dvar melech. So what's yatzu dechufim b'dvar melech? So dechufim means Ibn Ezra says as if they were kidmus dechufim, the mehiras. The Tirgum says that it means they ran out zrizin. So the ones who delivered were delivering the message. They were excited. Excited about the message. Ratzim yatzu dechufim b'dvar ha-melech. V'adas nitna b'shushan abiro. So Rashi says that he says, Mokom shoy ha-melech shom, nitan achok bo b'yom. It was months in advance, but they couldn't wait. It was Bobayon. V'amelach v'haman yashvu lishtos. And they were both joined together, happy, the simcha, amazing thing. V'ayir shushan avacha. And Klal Yisrael was completely confused. Didn't know what to do. And that pasuk has every element there. It's an amazing pasuk, every element. But after that, you have Mordechai yodas kol asher naso. Vayikra Mordechai es begadav yobasak vayifer vayesev esocha yir vayizak zor gedol omar. Vayovar lefnei shah melech yin lovar shah melech bilvush zok. So then it says like this. Then in Chomadino Medino, some of Chiyo Mispeit, Sank Vayifer Yitzal Arab. So it says, Vatavona Narus Esther Vesarisel Vayagidulo Vatischalchal Amalka Malik. So Vizdazis Malkus Alachabar. She was shaken, emotionally shaken. Then it says, Vatishlach Begodim Lahalbish Es Mordechai. So she sent clothes to dress Mordechai properly, Ulahosir Sakal Me Olov, to remove his sock for Eifer, for Lokibo. He didn't accept it. Then it says, Vatikra Esther Lasoch Misarisi Amalach Hashem Lefanel Vatzavel Mordechai Ladas Mazev Al Mazah. What's going on? What is this about? So then Asach went to Mordechai, Rechov Yerushal Shemshanach, and then Mordechai told him, Es Kol Asher Koro, Veis Parosha Sakesef Asher Omar Homon Lishko, Al Ginze HaMelech BaYehudim LaAbdam. It's an interesting thing. The Parosha Sakesef. I mean, what's the Parosha Sakesef? But it seems very, very unclear from the Megillah, I mean, what the Parosha Sakesef was, because really, it says the Haman said that Emel Amelchav Yikasev LaAdam VaAsaras Alafim Kika Kesef Eshkol Ideyasam Loch Alav El Ginzay Melach. So the Melach of Yom Melach Haman Akesef Nasan Loch Vom Not Lasas Bo Katov Beinecha. So did he take the Kesef or did he not take the Kesef? What? It's very vague. But it's interesting that when Mordechai told Esther the seriousness of what took place, so he said, "Veis parashas hakesef, asher omar haman lishko," as if that was a very significant thing. And one of the mafarshim, Yosef Lekach, mentions that later Esther brought it up again, because she said, "Kinem karnan ivami, kinem karnan ivami." It's an interesting thing. But what was the Parasha Sakesef? See, the Parasha Sakesef was really to clinch the deal and make it an official Maisa Kinyan, that it was done officially, that money was given for this purpose, and it was a transaction of the king. You see? That was part of the method that Haman used to seal the fate, try to seal the fate of the Jews. You see, it was Parasha Sakesef, it was an official transaction. Transaction took place. So the Parasha Sakesef wasn't just a matter of him giving money. It was really to do a transaction that was like a transaction, a legal transaction under the Malchus. You see. So even though Malchus said, Kesef not some loch, means do whatever you want with it. But basically, the transaction stood. You see. Yes. That's a good question. That's a very good question. That how do you undo that? And that was definitely what Esther was saying was kinim karno anivami, that she converted it into a mechira. Instead of a transaction, it was a mechira. She converted it. So it was a mechira, an illegitimate mechira. So she changed the whole context of the event. That was part of her chachma, that she removed it from an official transaction of the malchus to a personal transaction of mechira namkarno anivami. That's what she had. That's how she had to undo that. But you're right. That's an important point. But the big question here really is a different question. Big question is that the order of what Esther did doesn't make any sense. Because it says, Vatishlach begadim lahalbush es Mordechai lasasak me olav lo kibo, right? So first she sent to remove the begadim. So, and then he refused. And then it says that she sent Hasach to find out mazev al mazev. I mean, shouldn't it be reversed? I mean, first she should have sent the Hasach to find out mazev al mazev. And then if she disagreed, so then she should have sent the begadim. But it seems she sent the begadim before, not even knowing what it's all about. Correct? I mean, that seems to be a problem in the plain order of events in the Megillah. Okay? That's one question.
If it says Shushim was Navanim, they were confused, wouldn't you want to hear it from the horse's mouth?
So he's Yoshev B'Sakva, he's fair about the Schalchal HaMalka Ma'od. So find out, what's going on? I mean, you don't send to remove the Begadim, you don't know what's going on. I mean, that's a strange thing. The order should be reversed. Okay. Another point is that
she only knew that Mordechai was
Safi. She knew. Apparently she knew.
That's all she knew?
That's right. It seems that's what they get a lot. That's all she knew. It seems so.
Only afterwards did she ask for it.
Only afterwards she asked what's going on. But at first she jumped to... What?
How did she not know about the
dessert? I don't know.
Is it surprising? She's a queen.
Surprising, I don't know. But it seems clearly she didn't know. I mean, that seems clear. I mean, you can't. It's hard to project backwards into their system of government and their society. I mean, Leah's Kolish Sarah Bevesa. I mean, it was a different kind of society. Okay. Although it was very similar also. But anyways, same problems. Okay. Another question is the after Mordechai told her Laharos Esther, Lahagilo, Latsavosala, Lovol Amel Haschanlo, so after Esther received the words, Hasach told Esther the words of Mordechai. So it says, so she said, Kolavdei HaMelech, V'amid Yisrael Yerim Asher Kol Ish V'ish Asher Yovel HaMelech HaChotz Kershel Yikar Echaz Das Lohamis. Levad Me Asher Yoshel HaMelech HaShavet Azov V'choya V'ani Lo Nekresi Levol HaMelech Zeh Shlosh Miyam. Okay, so then, so she says, there's a big danger here of losing her life. Okay. So then it says, "Vayagid leMordechai is divrei Esther, v'yom Mordechai loshev el Esther, al tidami v'nafsheich limoleit beis hamelach mikol ha'yehudim. Ki im achrei shachrishi beis hazos, revav chatzol liyam al ha'yehudim makam achar, v'atu beis avich tovedu." So he was very critical of her response, right? And he basically was, criticizing her and almost condemning her, saying that she's more interested in saving her life than all of Klal Yisrael. But where do you see that in what she did and what she said? All she said was that this is not the time, because anyone that comes into the Chatz HaMelech Shelo Kedos, Achaz Das Lahamis, unless Levat Asher Yoshel HaMelech Shavet Azov Achoya. So apparently she was saying that Vani Lo Nekresi Lo Melech Zeh Shloshim Yom. So her response wasn't that she's not willing to put her life in jeopardy. Her response was that this isn't the proper time. So why condemn her and say that Al Tadami V'Nafshech Limolei Beis HaMelech Mikol HaYehudim? Moreover, how long in advance was the problem really looming? It was 11 months later. So Esther would seem said a rational thing. And you have 11 months, so why should I take a chance now at this point and lose my life and the whole... We can't do anything then. And she's the only one that really... She's the major one here that can effectuate a change. So why did Mordechai really... come down on her like that. I mean, that's that needs an explanation. But I think what we said was the mention is of the Purim Suda, that it was really it was a machlokus between Esther and Mordechai as to how to go about this thing. You see, Esther was a great chachoma, and she knew that you don't jump to conclusions. I mean, a person that's ulterior pachat pisam. I mean, it's a general rule that you don't jump to conclusions and assume immediately that's the end of the world. I mean, there are diplomatic ways of dealing with things. So to go ad lefnei chatzar ha-melech belvush sok is a dangerous approach, because what you're showing now is immediately that you're totally disgruntled with the malchus, and the malchus warrants that we put on sak va'efer. It's like the end, and you're playing your last card. I mean, that's the last thing that you want to do. First, you want to try to work things out in friendly terms with the malchus. You don't want to come out right away that it's that this, what the malchus did, demands sak va'efer. It's a protest. It's a tremendous protest. Well, you see, it's a protest because it says Vayavo ad lefnei shar hamelech ki ein lovo al shar hamelech b'vorsak. So it was a protest as far as he could go. You see. So when Esther v'tischalchal amalka ma'od, when Esther heard that Nizdaza, because she was shaken by the news that Mordechai was lovesh sak va'efer, and her immediate response was, "Don't do that. We have time. Let's think it over. There are diplomatic means, many different things that we could possibly try here. I mean, why immediately? The world's not coming apart. I mean, in a moment, there's always people that predict doom. It's doomsday." It's a completely irrational kind of an approach, and most of the time it's not true. I mean, very very rarely. I mean, very very rarely. I mean, it's still in existence. There's been many predictions of doom in the history of the world. So Esther was a great chachama, and that was her response. You see. Mordechai's response was no. His response was that this demands immediate action. That's really what Mordechai's whole response was. That this demands immediacy, and it demands complete, absolute protest. The last card that we have to play right now. Immediately, you see. Esther was not of the same mind, and that's why she said that was her response. Her response was that I need no lonely grace of all the melchus. Even after she heard about the whole thing that with Haman and the whole unraveling of events, even after that, she still was of the opinion that it's not really appropriate to rush immediately to this type of action, which is the last action you want to take to show that you're completely distraught with the malchus and completely unhappy with the malchus. That was our approach. But the question is, so you see that explains her first action. That explains her first action, and that explains why afterwards she asked, Maza ladas maza al maval maza. Because when she saw that there must be something, you must have some reason here. What is it? Something unusual, something completely extraordinary. So his approach was immediacy. And you see, that was in his whole mode of operation. That's what he did. Vayavar Mordechai. That it was Pesach, it was Yom Tov, this thing is 11 months in advance. You could still have Yontif. And we should, on the contrary, maybe we should keep Yontif. Maybe B'schus will keep Yontif there. We'll be Zocha. No, Mordechai did not think that way. Mordechai thought that this Vayavar Mordechai, that this Pesach we have to be over. We have to make it a day of Tzom and Beching and Misbeid. And it's a time to be over on Hilchus Pesach because it's a Hatzolos Nefashos. That was Mordechai's approach. What really was behind Mordechai's thinking? What was behind Mordechai's thinking? See, what was the source of the way he thought? You see, so it's interesting. The Tirgum says like this. Tirgum says, Mordechai yada es kol asher nasa, everything that transpired. So the Tirgum says, Mordechai yada al yado de Eliyahu chana rabba. So Mordechai knew through Eliyahu, another means he had a gilui nevuah, a gilui nevuah. Yas kol ma dis abed b'shmei meroma, what took place above. Umadis chayvu amo veis Yisrael lishteitzo'o migoy alma. And why Klal Yisrael was chayv klia, to be destroyed. He says, v'heichmo de'iskisiv v'ischatim loho vaduson min alave ara. Heichdein iskisiv v'ischatim b'shmei maroma. He says he knew why the Gzar Din was Nechtav and Nechtam, Nechtav and Nechtam, he says, that they should be destroyed. And Heichdein, how Iskisiv, Ischatim, Shmei Meroma, Al Esak, the Ishaniyu min Suudo Se da Achashverosh, Rashia, because they were Nena from the Suudas Achashverosh, Harosha. Baram Chosoma Vachosim Mintino, Ushdar mori alma yas Eliyo kana rabba lachavo lamordechai de yikum v'yitzali kodam mori alma al ame. V'chayidam mordechai b'zayas levushai v'albesh levushai desalka b'sra. But however, he says, there was one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and that was that he showed Mordechai through the Gilui Nevuah. It's an interesting thing. Through the Gilui Nevuah, so he showed Mordechai that there is a chance for Klal Yisrael that they could be mispalel before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once Mordechai knew that, Bizayas Levushe v'albish Levushe v'saka b'sre v'shavi kitmal reshe u'kval kvulta rapso v'chob b'mriris nafsha b'kal atzav. So then he did, then he was Noe Tainis and Sakva Eifer and Bechi, and it was Mespalel, Ben Merirus, and Bekol Otzev, and bitterness and sadness. So it seems, it's an interesting thing, by the way. So you see, it seems that his response was on two fronts. It was on a political front, and it was on the front of tshuva, you see. And both things coincided to demand that there must be an immediate reaction, even though the gzera was months in advance. See, on the political front, he knew that this is not a political issue. There are many times that you have issues and you have difficulties, you have antagonists, and you have to use chachma to work out the situation politically. But over here, he recognized that all the politics, the political structure, is whatever you see is only superficial. But behind the scene, there is one idea, and that is to destroy Klal Yisrael. And therefore, dealing with the superficial political phenomena is not the correct way. This is not the correct way. It was a deep recognition of what a Moloch is and Haman, and that with Haman and a Moloch, it's not possible to deal in normal with normal methods, because whatever you deal with is only a facade, a political facade. But the underlying desire is to destroy Klal Yisrael, and you have to deal immediately with the underlying nature of the political force, and that can't wait. So it couldn't wait from a political standpoint, but it couldn't wait from another standpoint also. And that's what the Yishalmi says, that this is the moment for Klal Yisrael to be Chozer B'Tshuva, to recognize the seriousness of the Gzera. And if you wait, then you lose that moment of Tshuva. The moment of Tshuva. That's what Mordechai said, you see. So Mordechai's response was twofold. It was politically, and also in terms of tshuva of Klal Yisrael. And neither one of those things could wait. Neither one of those things could wait. And Yishalmi expounds on the tshuva. But of course, if it were politically incorrect, then politically inappropriate, of course, Mordechai would know. You have to use chachmas. The whole Megillah is all chachma and the chachma Vesta Malka. But the tshuva could not wait, and it had to be immediate. If you allow time to transpire after the gzera, and you don't make use of the immediate effect of the gzera, then you lost Klal Yisrael, because you lost the opportunity of tshuva. It's an interesting thing. That was Mordechai's chachma. So, however, Mordechai was well aware that there is another approach which a person normally uses, and a person who's intelligent usually sees the world's not falling apart, the world's not... I remember, for instance, after 9/11, everybody said, they asked, how many people do you think is going to be another attack in the United States within the next year? 97% of the population said there will be. Okay. So people are prone to that type of reasoning. But the truth of the matter is that Chachma, usually Chachma shows that that's not true. You have to analyze what's the nature of the thing, what are their abilities, how do they do it. Things don't just fall apart so quickly in the world. So a rational person does not immediately jump to the conclusion that it's the end of the world. But there is also, with every position, there is also a certain emotion that goes with it. There's an emotional reason to always assume the world's not coming to an end, not a rational one. And that is because a person has a certain need for security. You see, there's two sides to the coin, that some people, because of their needs for security, rush out of fear to the conclusion that it's all over, because that's an emotional thing. But it, what the psychology of it is? It's a good question. Maybe we'll go into it later. But there's another kind of emotional attitude that nothing is. Don't worry, everything will be all right. You see, that stems also from a person's need for security. So a person wants to feel secure, so they don't want to believe that this is doomsday. There is also an irrational element. So when Mordechai criticized Esther, and Esther was someone that was makabel telchacha, vayhi omein es hadasa, she was makabel the telchacha. So he pointed out that irrational element. Al tadami v'nafshech li molei beis hamelach mikol ha-yehudim. That if you're now that I told you what it is, if you don't see the urgency, both politically and both in terms of tshuva, metaphysically, if you don't see that, so then you're just giving way to the emotion of self-preservation and the sense of security. So he pointed out to her what the underlying emotion is, you see. That's why I said, "Al-Tadami v'nafshech li-molei b'samalach m'kalehudu." That's really the dialogue. The dialogue was two different. Was based on two different approaches. The approach of a chachama, which was the intelligent approach, but nevertheless he had to point out to her that approach stems from a certain emotion. There's a certain emotional attitude that supports that approach as well, and that emotional attitude is a person's need for a sense of security. So they don't want to accept what is before them as a total chance of destruction. So that's why he pointed out he was pointing out to her that emotion is there. You have to recognize that emotion. Don't let that play a role in your judgment. Don't let that play a role in your judgment.
But
yes?
As far as she doesn't have this nevoah, so why couldn't she answer, it's not playing a role. I'm still working on the political level.
Excuse me?
She could just respond, I'm not.
It seems that that was what transpired. In other words, first she didn't know what it was, so she was a chachama. She says, just a second. You know, that the world's not coming to an end. So, but then when she saw that he refused, so then she sent Ladas Mazev al Mazev. And then he told her what's going on, and he explained her the reasons. And then when she hesitated, when she said that it's not the time now, maybe we should wait, so he sensed that she doesn't really understand this. She doesn't understand what I'm saying, because in terms politically and in terms of Klal Yisrael, it demands immediacy. Demands immediacy. Now, the one thing that could prevent her from, she saw she's not in line completely with this reasoning. So he attributed her lack of ability to fall in line with his precise reasoning to the emotion of self-preservation. And he pointed it out to her so that she should know what the emotion is, recognize it, and then she's in a position to, and that's what happened, really. And then she said, Lech Kenelis Kol Yehudim, Letzum Olai. So once he pointed it out to her, she was able to overcome it. But it shows you, when you give a person Musar, it's not enough to give a person, I mean, people are Mekabel Techacha, so it's a very hard thing to give Musar. Gemara says that nobody's Mekabel Techacha with Manasseh. But real Musar is not just stating your position, but real Musar is pointing out the emotion. That's the proper method of Musar. And that's what Mordechai did. That's really the dialogue. That explains the dialogue. Yes?
There's really no way to know if she accepted what he said because she felt what he said was right, or if she was simply mevatel hadas.
Mevatel hadas.
I think I'm right. It's, you know,
I mean, mevatel hadas is an idea. Mevatel.
You're also a barabbi.
Mevatel hadas is an idea that gained a lot of acceptance in recent years, but when you go back to the system of Chachamim, you don't find bitla das. That's the last thing you want to do is mevatel das. I mean, the Chachamim worked with das. They worked with das. And Esther Malka wasn't just mevatel das. I mean, that's a later kind of a thing that you find, you know, mevatel das to this, mevatel das to that. In the end, you wind up without any das. But the Chachmei Yisrael worked with Chachma. Esther Malka was a great Chachma. She wasn't Mevatel Hadas. That idea is an alien idea to great people. It's an idea for people that aren't on a level to think. So Mevatel Hadas. I'm not saying it's not right. I mean, most people, many times, that's an appropriate. it's an appropriate way. But that's for an average person. But when you talk about great Chachma, it's not Mevatel Hadas. I mean, She was a chachama, and she acted according to Adas. And you're not talking about a child or a person that's an ignoramus that he doesn't know anything, so I'm vama Adas to this one. That's an idea, a popular idea in our day. But it's inappropriate to for Esther Malka. Yes. Excuse me. That's a good question you're asking me. You're having a machlokas, and you're yeah. What's the answer to that question? It's a very good question. It's a good question. I ask you a question. Yeah. The question is: let's argue the issue in terms of the issue on its own terms. Not introduce ideas that you have this imperfection, that's why you think this way. I mean, that doesn't seem to be an appropriate method. So why is it appropriate here? That's Nani Meyer's question. Okay, what's the answer?
It does.
Originally, when she's not relating to what he's saying.
That's true. Since he gave her the information and she's not receiving it, and she's still questioning about whether it's appropriate, whether the urgency is so urgent that she should even chance Mesiras Nefesh. So it showed Mordechai that there's some emotion here.
Maybe
she disagreed. Okay. Let me, you see, the question is a good question because you have to answer this question in a general way. You know what I mean? You have to answer the question in some question, you have to answer in particular, some question you have to answer in a general way. You're good.
I'd like to answer my own question.
You want to answer your own question? That's not fair. Good. Even Mordechai said, "Mi yodeya em leis kazos yigad lamalchus." Mi yodeya, no one knows God's plans, but it's a possibility. It's a possibility. Yeah.
You can't use that type of art. You can't use that type of attack.
Right.
If you have a certain personal issue with the person, you can notice an emotion.
Okay. Yeah, but you're missing the general answer. You need a general answer. Yes. But you're right. I mean, you're right too.
Salvation of Klai Israel, and then there's a machlokas. Perhaps there's a few in that case to deal with. There's an emotional issue depending on one side from seeing the other.
See, yes.
I don't know what more to say, but when you understand the psychology there, it
reveals. You need a general answer for this question. Yes.
Normally, it's logic. So and so use
logics is a good word.
And then you have to respond that way until you show that it's logic.
The answer is that we put too much faith in logics. That's the answer. The Enyadus loves logic, loves the beauty of ideas, and that's Kol HaTarakula, and in every Beholder Rechecha Da'eu, that Chochma and Yedias Hashem, in every way. I mean, that is Yahadus. But Yahadus has one premise, that you could never prove anything logically. By logically, I mean structurally logically. Structurally, logically, a person can come up with the most insane ideas. And like solipsism, you cannot disprove solipsism logically. Does that mean solipsism is a possibility for an insane person? It's a possibility. But can you prove that a person dreams at night? Can you prove that our whole existence is not a dream? You can't prove it. But the Seichel HaYashar differentiates between the two senses of reality, a sense of reality when we're awake and a sense of reality in sleep. And the Seichel HaYashar in man is what ultimately is decisive in everything. You could never have a mathematical or a logical structure that can ensure truth. Because the logic says you have the logical structure. You could take logic and you could apply it to anything. I mean, you can make any structure, any logical structure. Just because a logical structure is impossible to break down does not in any way mean that it has to do with reality. Okay? Just like mathematical formula. You have a mathematical formula of many universes. Are there many universes? No, there's only one. So the fact that the human mind can construe something in a mathematical or a logical way is no guarantee or even an indication of truth. But the indication of truth stems from the Tzelem Olakim, which has a sense of what is right and what is wrong. You have a good svara and you have a bad svara. If you had to disprove every bad svara, you would never be able to learn a sugya. Couldn't learn a sugya? Because I can present to you many bad svaras that will defend them logically and will learn the sugya. But why don't we do that? because when you hear the right svara, something rings in your mind. Ah, that's it. You see, you don't look any further. And the same thing is true in science as well. When a scientist sets up his experiment, there are millions of experiments he can set up, but he only sets up one. Why? Because his mind tells him, here's where it's at. This is the point. What tells him that? It's not logic that tells him that. It's a sense of reality and a sense and a perception of truth that tells him, here's where it is. And everything hangs on that. That's why you can't really, for the same reason, you can't disprove an Epicurus. Why? Because it'll set up all kinds of logical arguments. And as long as you're just going to say, you have to hide behind logic, he'll work out the logic. But chachma and a sense of truth and reality, which a tzelem ha'kim can perceive, can sense this is MS and this is a waste of time. You'd have to waste your entire life trying to disprove every logical possibility. So, but the truth of the matter is that in arguing, in our society, when you make recourse to an argument like that, you say that's an emotion. So the whole argument in our society is really on a different social plane. It's like a social kind of a phenomenon, the argument. You say, oh, that's not fair. Now you're making recourse to this. So the entire argument is not based on a desire for truth, usually. It's based on each person trying to protect his view. It's a social phenomenon. In a social way, that's not fair because I can say that to you. So therefore, you exclude that possibility from the realm of argument. Not because it's right to exclude it. It's because the way you're setting up the game in this debate system tells you that, no, we have to argue the issues. And you can't go, even if it's true, that maybe it is because the person has some conflict. But that's not fair. So the framework of the argument is not an argument in terms of pursuit of truth. It's an argument which has a social setup. It's a social phenomenon. A social phenomenon, we set the rules. I can say that to you, you can say that to me. So the whole argument is a social argument. It's not really an argument that's pursuing truth. But in an argument that's pursuing truth and in individuals that pursue truth, on the contrary, if you point out an emotion and they're honest and they sense and they think into it and they sense that is the emotion, you don't have to go any further. Because the person has a sense of truth, sense of reality. And that's Chachmei Yisrael. Chachmei Yisrael are on that level. That's like a Rav Ramban Aram says, but when Chachmei Yisrael argued with almost all of them in astronomy, that they said, no, their svara is better. Why is their svara better? Because it's a smoother svara. Not because they were disproven. Can't disprove. They could argue logically, but they sense that they're right. In astronomy, they're right. They have the right sense over here. We're wrong over here. This area they know better than us, and they have a better intuition. And that's why the Chachmei Yisrael said that they were right. So that's the pursuit of emes. The pursuit of emes is not the pursuit of logic. Everybody can defend themselves logically. And that's true in personal arguments as well. That as long as you have an argument between two people of a personal nature and you're just going to limit it to logic, you're never going to get anywhere. Because each person said it was own logic. Well, you have 15 reasons why I'm right. But you have to go beyond the logic into the sense of reality and the sense of truth. And that's Torah. That's Torah. That's Das Torah. If you want to say Das Torah, that's Das Torah. Okay. But what I want to take up is one more thing.
Rabbi,
yes?
The pasuk over here.
No, on the contrary. So he showed that this instinct of self-preservation is going to work against you because you're going to get destroyed.
Right.
So that's on the contrary. That's exactly right. He says, you are trying to do this because of self-preservation. That's the emotion. That's the underlying emotion. No, what's going to happen is you're going to be bypassed. The Rebbe Chatzel is going to come somewhere else, and you're going to be destroyed. So you lose the opportunity of being the one that brought about the Rebbe Chatzel, which is also a part of a person's nature that they want to be. You're going to lose that opportunity. And on the contrary, you're going to be destroyed. So he pointed it out very well. Exactly.
Doesn't that mitigate the urgency?
No, the urgency is never... We don't do things because... First of all, Yamalei doesn't mean vadai because it's totally in tshuva. But it means if they do tshuva, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save them. Habe shluchem l'makom. But you never act on that. That's crazy. For a person to say,
That's insanity. A person's obligated to act rationally based on their what's before them, and in terms of that's the whole philosophy of us. That now you, if Chachma dictates that you do this, you have to do that. That's our whole system. We don't have a mystical system. That's why you're not going to do it. I mean, that's connected to Torah Kula. If you in mitzvah bol yotcha, this is your time and this is your moment. You're mechuyif to act on the moment based according to Chachma. Yes.
So in summary, the chapter is going to be the
emotion, I believe that the limud from the Megillah is not just a limud for then or for circumstances of crisis. I mean, it's a limud for us. I mean, what does Ram say? The Megillah will be is always there. Will always be a limud. So it's a social limud. It's a social limud.
Anytime a person says that the other person is operating by emotion, then he has a right to say, I think you're not being logical at all?
Well, it depends who.
It could be your emotion.
That's what he mentioned, that Rabbi Meir mentioned. That Vahi Omen is Adasa, that's correct. there was a special relationship there, and she was Makabal Tochacha. I mean, it was that relationship was there. I mean, he knew that relationship was there. So if that relationship is there, yes. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have a relationship, such a relationship with another person, where they really sense that you're not attacking them, that you mean for their best interest, and that and if you point out an emotion, and if they're capable of seeing the emotion that you point out, I mean, that is the root. That's really what you learn from Mordechai. I mean, that's what he did. He presented her with all the knowledge that he had, but when he noticed there was some kind of still a little bit of hesitation there, that she didn't perceive fully the urgency of the situation, so then he said, then he attacked the emotion. But that's correct. That's a limud for everyone. But like I said, you have to be fortunate to exist in such a circumstance where you have someone that you could talk to that way, they're not offended. I mean, and they're really looking for the truth. And I mean, it does happen. It does happen. I wouldn't say it's very common, but I would say that it does happen. Yes.
Why did he say to her, "Adu beis avich
v'leinu"? That's interesting. That's interesting. But that was she. That was she. Actually, what she said was that tshuva demands. Now you have two themes. One is the political immediate reaction, and the other one is tshuva for Klal Yisrael. So immediate reaction would be right away. But Esther's chachma was the one she saw it, and she agreed that tshuva takes priority. So tzumo alai shlosha, wait 3 more days. But important is that Klal Yisrael should be chos b'tshuva. That's primary. That's primary. That's what she said. That's what she added basically to Mordechai's formula. I mean, she added that. That was once she saw it, then she added that element. And that was her chachma, and Mordechai agreed. It's interesting. So it was both. They were both working on the same. Then they were on the same tracks, on the same two tracks. But her idea was tshuva, 3 days of tainus and tshuva. Yes.
Maybe I don't know if you want to go into it now, but I just
want
to.
That's what I want to go into. Okay. 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 So everybody knows that that what was the big chait was because there were nena from Sudas Achashverosh. Nena from Sudas Achashverosh. And Rashi says over here, Rashi says it on the spot. Mordechai yada bal hachalom omalo sheskimu ha'olyonim lakach. Lefishes means nevuah. Lefishes shtachavu letzelem bimei nevuchadnetzar v'shenenu mesudas Achashverosh. Funny kind of thing. Rashi puts, what is this? Shtachal Tzalam. What is it? I mean, Tirgum Unkelos just says, Nenu Mesudas Achashverosh. Okay? But interesting is there's a Gemara on this. Gemara is Daf Yud Beis and all from Megillah. Funny Gemara. Gemara says that Shalu Talmidov Hashem Shim Ben Yechoi. So doesn't say Yisrael, so it means Klal Yisrael. Why were they mechuyev destruction? Amar lohem, Sir Shimei Yechai said to them, Imru Atam, you tell me. You answer the question. Amrulo. So you see, sometimes I guess sometimes a Talmud asks a Rebbe, but he has some idea. He wants to hear the Rebbe say it. So he knew that they weren't totally ignorant. You say it. So Amrulo, they said, Nation Nanu Misudasa Shal Osa Russia. Okay. So because they were Nanu from Sudas Achashverosh. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Im Cain, if that's the case, Shebeshushan Yahargu. So the only ones that should be Chayef Kli are the people in Shushan, because they were Nanu from the Suda. Shebechola Olam Kulo Al Yahargu. So the ones in the entire world, why should it all be Chayef? So it's Mashma from the Gemara, it's called Olam Kulo. Amrulo. So they said to him, Emor Ata. Okay, now you say. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, because they bowed down to the Tzelem at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. That's what Rashi is quoting it. Amrulo, so they said to him, the Chimas upon him yesh bedor. Interesting question. The Chimas upon him yesh bedor. Rashi says, what does it mean? Mas upon him. So Rashi says, yeah, where's Rashi over there? Mas upon Eich zachul anes. Eich zachul anes. What it means is that over here, it wasn't just that they were chozer b'tshuva and that's why they were saved. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it was he gave them an opportunity for tshuva. It's an interesting thing. That's like the Yishalmi says. I mean, the Tirgum says that Bram Chosom Avachosom Mintina Ushdar Mori Alma Yaseliyo Kana Rabba Lechavo LeMordechai. So it was planned that the opportunity for tshuva was planned, or the opportunity for tshuva was given. So that's what they asked. V'chi Maso Parim Yesh B'Dovar. If they were over the Avodah Zarah, they wouldn't deserve a chance. Sometimes the gzera is, that's it, there's no chance. I mean, that's, I must say, I mean, the whole sipur amaisa of Purim is a sipur of how they avoided the Holocaust. And after the Holocaust, somehow or other, the simcha is affected. Because they were zocha, but we weren't. At any rate, v'chimasa ponim yesh b'davar, amar lahem, so he said to them, heim lo osu ela lefonim, afa kadosh baruch hu lo osu imohem ela lefonim. So it says, they, when they served the Avodah Zarah at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they did it out of fear, Rashi says. It wasn't really done because they wanted to do it, but they were afraid. So Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Lasei Imam Ela Lefanim. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them a chance. The Chsiv Kilo Ino Milibo. Kilo Ino Milibo means that, I don't know exactly how the semantics work. There's a Tirgum that makes it, that learns like this. Kilo Ino, because the person didn't work themselves over completely, Milibo to remove. Milibo to remove from their heart the psul, so it means it wasn't a total chait, but nevertheless vayage b'nei adam. So that was the thing that played the role. So when you finish with the Gemara, what is your conclusion? That it wasn't because of the nenem misur shalos Russia, okay. Yeah, that wasn't the conclusion. But you see, Rashi says both together. But the answer is like this. See, what does it mean, shenenu misudoso shalosa Russia? See? What does it mean? So they went there. They had to go politically to the Suda. What was so bad about it? What was so bad about it was shenanu. They enjoyed it. What does it mean they enjoyed it? It means that they got swept up somehow in the victory of Achashverosh. You see? That became somewhat of a reality to them. And they joined in. You see? Emotionally, They felt there is some reality to his godless, and we're a part of this. And they, what they did was, they gave a credence to that kind of a reality. Now, what the Gemara says is, you see, the Gemara says, if it was the people in Shushan, so it should just be the people in Shushan, right? So why is it called, why is it called Olam Kulo? So the Gemara says, no. Because in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they served the Tzelem. And whether it was a real Avodah Zarah, not a real Avodah Zarah, that's a separate thing. But what did it show? They did it out of fear. But what did it demonstrate? You see, it demonstrated that the reality of Yichud Hashem was not proper, was not in place. That's what it means out of fear. The reality of Yichud Hashem was lacking. And what Chazal is saying is that since the reality of Yichud Hashem was lacking in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, so that's what that slip allowed them to slip down the next rung of the ladder. That they recognized and they were moved by a reality of the great king Ahasuerush in the Suda, and they enjoyed it. They were nene. They participated in this as if this is some kind of a reality. You see. The question in the Gemara is like this. Is Ir Shushan reflect the status of all of Klal Yisrael, or is it isolated? That's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, if it's just them, so why should the whole nation have to suffer? But the Gemara answers, no, because in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, out of fear, they weren't Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. So what does that mean? That means that the reality of Yichud Hashem was lacking in their minds. And because of that, when the people in Shushan were nene from the Suda, it wasn't the people in Shushan. It was anybody that would have been in Shushan would have fallen. Because the whole level of Klal Yisrael sunk. And the level, it sunk to the point where there was a recognition of a certain reality which is alien to Yadus, you see. And that really points out the nature of chait. See, we were talking before about arguments. The nature of chait is not the maisa, It's really the sense of reality that destroys the person in a chait. A person can have olam hazeh. No, we should have olam hazeh. But if the person believes in it, if he feels this is some kind of real good, then he falls. You see? Then he falls. That's what Chazal means. Nenu misudas achashverish. Also Russia. Means he was a Russia, and this whole thing was an evil thing, an evil triumph. And they got into the emotion of triumph. Wow, there's some reality to this. Look at this entire world. The melech of the entire world. And we're a part of this. We're in Shushan. And they gave it a certain, as if this is some kind of a reality. You see? And that's really from this limud, there's tremendous limud in Derech HaChayim of how chait really corrupts a person. Not the maisa, It's the sense of reality that the individual becomes involved in. And through that, the soul changes and they start slipping. And once they slipped already in terms of Yichud Hashem, the next thing was they were open to a certain sense of belief that there's some reality to this great Sudas HaMelech. And they enjoyed it. They were nenal shen nenu misudas as a Russia. That was the reason that they were deserving of Kliya. Okay. All right, we'll stop here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't this also the Sabuda where he was celebrating the faulty calculation of the Gula? So the Jews who joined it?
Yeah, but these are drushes. I'm going plain shot in the pasuk. Plain shot. Now, drushes have their place. You have to. Yeah. There's one thing I want to mention, though. I mentioned in terms of the simcha. I want to just leave one thing. In terms of the simcha, it's true, like I mentioned about the Holocaust. But the simcha is really that this sefer is the sefer that has the formula. It's not simply because we averted a catastrophe. That, of course, is a great thing. Chayav and Shevach Hador, averted a catastrophe. But the simcha goes beyond that. The simcha is that this sefer spells out the formula for averting a catastrophe. And that's the real Simchas Purim. And that formula exists long and void. See, because it's a true formula. And that really is the Simchas Purim. As I say, Biyameinu, there's a sadness because you can't help reflecting on the Holocaust. And say, that time we weren't deserving. But the real Simcha of Purim is not just the effect of the events, but it's the Simcha of the Limud of the Sefer, which teaches us how to avert a Holocaust. Now, what the formula is, that's a Simcha that's tied to ideas. And that Simcha is always with us. Okay. Stop it. Okay, somebody asked me why they had to do it right away. Why couldn't they do it a month later? But the answer is, that's what Chazal says, Se'or Shebisa, which means that if the Dir Shoshem B'Motza, it means the moment, when the moment is ready, if you let it go, then it's going to be gone, because that's the Derech of the Yetzirah. Because then you're giving an opportunity for the instinctual to start massing its arguments and its distractions and all the methods that the instinctual has of removing a person away from the truth. That's what it means. So if you don't take advantage of that moment, it's gone. That's really, that's the concept.
The first learning about the event.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That moment, if you don't seize that moment, that opportunity, that's it's gone. What is, Yaakov says, what's the Umiya Deya and Leis Kazos? How does that tie in? Okay. It ties in like this, that the instinct of self-preservation is tied to the world the way we see it. But if you would see the design of the Ashgacha, it wouldn't affect you. You see? So it's a different reality. That's why he said, Umiya Deya Im Leis Kazos Gat Malamalcha. He says, that is a possibility. So you're basing yourself on a reality that's a commonplace, earthly-based reality. But it could be there's a different reality here. And in the framework of that reality, the person is not tempted by the instinctual. You see? That was the argument.